Turn the silence into songs of praise. Jesus, I am leaning on your name. Oh, I'm leaning on
thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in here to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's all stand and sing. Sing Shout to the Lord.
Thank you.
around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. The best day in my whole life was when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Let's sing about that wonderful day when heaven came down, page 495. Page 495 in our hymnal, singing all three verses. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. The need of my heart shared this dispelling with joy. at the cross, the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my life was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Rich is eternal and blessed is a pearl from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Continue that good singing by turning to page 353, singing A Shelter in the Time of Storm. The Lord our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Third verse, the raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land of storm. Let's end by singing the chorus, God Will Make a Way.
Welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you came to worship with us this morning. We've already had a great time in the Lord's house with the early service and Sunday school. We have actually broke our Sunday school record this morning, praise the Lord. So Sunday school is continuing to grow. If you haven't made that a part of your weekly Sunday, we'd encourage you to come out for Sunday school at 10 o'clock. This morning, we're going to get started with a word of prayer here in a minute. But first, we want to take the time to welcome any first-time guests or friends. So if it's your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you'll raise your hand. I think we just have the one group, the missionary family up here, Brother Bud, the Jordans, if you'll get them. So that's our only visitor this morning. Otherwise, it's about a hometown crowd. But we'll get started with prayer this morning, and then we have another missionary that's going to present to you. So the Jordans presented in Sunday school, and then we have the Bushy family going to present their ministry to you after I pray, and then we'll have our special, all right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house, Lord, to spend this time of worshiping you. And Lord, as we move into our preaching hour, we pray you'd fill our preacher with your spirit and your power. God, that we would be convicted by your word today and our lives would be changed. God, we pray today that if there's someone in here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we pray you'd be honored and glorified through the services here today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Carter. This morning, we are glad to have Justin and Kristen Bushy, and their children are here. They have a job, so glad to have them. They visited with us on a Sunday night, not too long back in the past. One of our sister churches down in Xenia, they were visiting there, and so glad to have them here with us. They are from the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I'll let them say more about that, but before I get there, and before we welcome them to the platform, let me do this. If you are a United States military veteran, would you raise your hand this morning? We did this in the early service, Brother Rob back there, Brother Rick, Miss Cynthia, good to have all of you folks. Let's give a round of applause to our real American heroes. Amen. Brother LB's a military veteran, and so we are so thankful for you and your sacrifice and service to our country, allowing us to preach this Bible freely here with very little persecution, no matter what you think, very little real personal attack, able to preach it freely, bring it to our public schools and all these things. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart and our church's heart. We believe in celebrating our veterans. So thank you very much for that. Well, this morning, I'm so glad to be back. It's been 2 weeks since I've preached here at Assurance Baptist Church. It's so weird. And so we're going to have a party today. Amen. And we, you know, you have parties in space. You know how you have a party in space, Rick? You plan it. Now, I want you to, it's all the setup, all setup. We want to bring our friend and this young couple who we're very thankful for to the platform this morning. Would you give Justin and Kristen a huge, and Kristen, you don't have to come if that's not your normal thing, but we want to make sure they applaud you too. Amen? And so if you would give the Bushy family a big, rousing ABC welcome as they come this morning.
It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. We are the Bushy family. My wonderful wife back there, she does not do platforms. So when Pastor said that, she was like, does he think I'm getting up there? She does not. She does go into the facilities with me occasionally when she can. We do have a big family. My wonderful wife of 15 years, Miss Kristen, and then we've got 7 children, 6 here with us, 1 already in glory. Brianna, we celebrated her 13th birthday the other day. She's been in heaven now 13 years, and we praise God for that because one day we'll meet her again. And until that day, though, God has blessed us with 6 more, Bentley, Bella, Bronx, Blaze, Boaz, and Brightland. Yes, it is a mouthful. That's why we have prayer cards. Grab a prayer card. Pray for us, please. But needless to say, we are with Rock of Ages, serving with Rock of Ages Ministries. We're sent out of Calvary Baptist in Union Grove, North Carolina. It was a little bit warmer at the house than it was when we got here. And so anyways, we were out in Arizona last month, and it was 60 degrees warmer than it was at our house. So anyways, but we are grateful to be here with you today. Our ministry is we reach those that are incarcerated. And I'm just reminded today, not only as I was talking to a brother before the service, we're not only reaching those that are incarcerated, we're reaching those that work with the incarcerated. The end of the day doesn't end when I have a service with the inmate. I want to spend time with those officers. I want to go take them aside. They've got questions. Matter of fact, they've got a soul. And so I want to spend some time sharing the gospel with them. So the question gets asked to us so often is why prisons? Why would you spend time? Why would you go into a facility that most individuals are coming out or trying to get out? I tell the inmates all the time, I said, you're trying to get out, I'm trying to get in. But can I reword it as I believe Christ would also do? He answered a question with a question. And I want to answer your question with a question. If it was your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your brother, your cousin, whoever it might be, would you not want somebody giving the gospel to them? Because honestly and truthfully today, Majority of the people sitting in here, majority of the people I meet would never go into a facility. They say, you did what? You seen what this week? There's no way that I would go in there with murderers and rapists and thieves and thugs and so on so much. But I'm reminded what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't want nobody to go to hell. God still doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But we have a free will and we make choices. Not necessarily the best choices. But just give you a couple of stats real quick on what's going on in America. Right now, there's over 2 million people incarcerated in our country. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. And no, let me slow down on that and re-say that again. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world, and yet we're the freest nation in the world. I don't think that adds up, folks. To me, that doesn't even make good logical sense. Right now, I got to studying some things out. The recidivism rate, and all that does is mean those that get out and go right back in, the recidivism rate right now is around 85%. 100 people get out, 85 go right back in. Folks, programs ain't going to fix people. You know what? The repeat after me's ain't going to fix people. Heard Adrian Rogers say it this way. He said, nature forms us, sin deforms us, schools inform us, prisons reform us, the world conforms us, but Jesus Christ, he transforms us. What they need is a transformation. They need the gospel preached to them. In the last 2 weeks, I've led 12 men to Christ in the prison. Well, I'm just excited about it. You know what? I didn't grab them by the arm and say, you've got to repeat this prayer after me. I didn't say you had to do any of that. What I did is I took them through the Bible. They admitted and they said that they were a sinner, that they were lost, and that they needed to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Folks, I've had people completely tatted head to toe. I've had Muslims. Oh, boy, that was the most exciting thing. I led a Muslim to the Lord a couple months ago. Boy, I was super excited about that. Didn't know he was even Muslim until after he told me about it. But needless to say, there's just so much going on right now, and there's such a great need. I got to looking up Ohio. Did you know that Ohio is number 5 in our country on most incarcerated? Over 70,000. 70,000 people are incarcerated right now in the state of Ohio. There's a need. There's a great need. And so you say, hey, well, how would you get involved in something like this? Well, how did it all take place? Well, I got asked. That's all it was about 12 years ago. Somebody asked me to go into a prison. And I said what every good God-fearing Christian would say, no. I smiled and I said no. And I understood the individuals that I was going to be ministering to. I understood that, hey, you know what? There's really going to be rapists in there. There's really going to be murderers in there. And so on and so forth. And so I went back home. And I said, Lord, that's exactly right. I'm not my own. You bought me. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, it is our reasonable service. And I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, you died on the cross for me. Least I can do is go share the gospel with somebody. So I after about 3 months of prayer, and I didn't go in immediately, about 3 months of prayer, I went in. I sat back. I wasn't real friendly. I was scared. And I'm just being honest with you. I was scared. I didn't know what to expect. Got up there and gave a testimony. I wasn't even called to preach at the time. Just went up there and gave a testimony. Did you know if you're not called to preach in here, you can still do a work for Christ? Amen. You know what? You can still give your testimony. The maniac of Gadara had no proper training. He just went out and told somebody. The woman at the well in John 4, she just went out and told some people. We can do that. And so anyways, we went in there and just told them what God had done for me, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. But needless to say, God began to put a burden in my heart. About a year and a half later, God called me to preach. On my birthday, on May 15th of 2015, I preached my very first message. About a 45-minute message, preacher, in 7 minutes. Well, I laid it out. I've never preached so fast. Yeah, I probably have. But anyways, so it was tremendous. God began to work in my heart. I went from just me and a few guys going to I began organizing our church. Going in there, and so I headed that up for about 7-8 years. I still do, even now that we're fully on the road, but I still help out with our church. And so we had about 30 people going in. At one point in time, I was taking inmates out of the prison, bringing them to church on Sunday morning. And so God was blessing using that. And me and my wife were praying, God, where do you want us to do on a full-time basis? What would you have us to do? And the Lord used Matthew chapter number 25, verses 35 and 36, in November of 2019, and this was the verse, for I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was a thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came and visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And you say, Brother Justin, okay, I see all those people. They're more hopeless and helpless individuals, but what does it matter? Verse 40 sums it up. Verse 40 says, if you've done it to the least of these are the words of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And I said, dear Lord, I said, but I've got to go to the least of these. And so we've been able to go in there. We started our deputation about 3.5, almost 4 years ago now. We've been full-time in the prisons for the last year. I'm in there all throughout the week, and then on the weekend, usually try to find a church that we can go in, whether it's a new church, whether it's a supporting church, whether it's just somewhere to go worship, whether it's our home church. And so we try to go in, give updates and everything of that nature. But the Lord blessed and has allowed us to go in full time. We are still trying to raise a little bit of support, and we're grateful for the opportunity. I want to say, before I forget, thank you, Pastor, and thank you, church, for the accommodations. I cannot stress that enough. It's good to know that people love us. Amen. And that people are praying for us and they care enough for us. I'm not even going to go into the woes because there's no reason to, but praise God that we know that there's a church out there that loves us. And so we're thankful. I'll be quiet. But our ministry concentrates on the prison side now. We go into schools. We do juvenile prevention. We've got chaplains and things of that nature. But my heart and my burden's been towards that chaplaincy and going in there and not only preaching to them, but giving them the discipleship. Because people are getting saved, but people are not being discipled. They don't know how to lead somebody else to the Lord. I've seen it all across the nation. I've been in about 700 churches in the past 3 years. I can tell you from experience, very few churches have any emphasis on discipleship. Very few. It's a lost, I guess you could say it's a lost art. It's not even biblical anymore. They don't even care about it. But folks, we need to know how to win somebody to Christ. We need to know how to train them up. We need to know how they need to live a sanctified life. Just because they've been justified, now it's time to be sanctified. You know, we're going to be glorified, and we look forward to that day. But needless to say, the Lord has really burdened my heart about that. And so I'll give you just a quick testimony of how I got involved. So my mom was born in Norfolk. Had me when she was in Norfolk, Virginia. She was still in high school, 17 years old. My mom's white. My dad's black. Hence the reason I keep a tan all year long. But needless to say, my mom was not married. She wasn't looking to get married. And I didn't even know my dad, didn't even grow up knowing who he was. My mom married a man. He was very abusive, abused mom, abused me growing up. She divorced him. She still has the scars to show from the abuse. She then remarried another man. Sadly enough, he was more abusive to me and my sister than we could have ever dreamed. We'd walk a city block home every school day, and we would be fearful for our lives as we went to go into the house. So that's kind of the environment I grew up in. But we grew up going to church three times a week. So we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And so I walked up to an altar as a seven-year-old. When we moved to North Carolina, because my friend did, I said the same thing he did. But dear friend, them pews in here are more saved than I was. And so I went back, and for the next 9 years, I lived my life like I wanted to, just doing whatever, no change. Do you know, if there's conversion, there's a change. And so I lived my life like I wanted to, and as a 16-year-old, I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. That's what was beeping just a second ago, my insulin pump is. But anyways, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, my blood sugar was 1,300. I was a walking miracle at the time, didn't even realize it. From then, I would go into depression, be heavily medicated. From there, I would go into alcohol. I became an alcoholic at 16. From there, I would go into using drugs. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict at age 16. Before I turned 17, I was a drug dealer because them drugs cost money. And so I began to push those drugs. I began to get mixed up with the wrong individuals and some people that had a lot of weight, and I could help push them around. And so I was hustling on the streets. At age 17, I got hooked into a drug that, folks, you only got to try one time. You don't have to say, oh, this is just a one time, I'll never do it again. That's all it takes is one time and you're hooked. And so then I was hooked on this drug, and I began to sell it, and I began to go down for senior spring break into Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And on the way there, we looked up in the rearview mirror. There was 14 officers in 3 canine units, and they pulled us over. And by the time they pulled us over, they knew what I had. They knew what they were looking for, even though I played dumb like I didn't know what was there. And you can only play dumb for so long before the dogs will find it. And they did find it, and I was locked up at that point in time, became the state property of the state of South Carolina. I was looking at 20 years. And by God's amazing mercy, And I can't even tell you how good God is today. I can't begin to fathom and tell you completely how good he is, because I was lost. I deserved what I was going to get. And I was sitting in that cell, and when I went before the DA, they said, we're going to drop all charges. I said, well, man, that just made me Superman. Got back to North Carolina, got rearrested for different charges. Yet again, they dropped all charges. I said, man, I can't be touched. I was untouchable at that point in time. I found out, fast forward just another year, 19 years old, I found out that I was not untouchable. I was not Superman, because there was a kryptonite. My diabetes was out of control, and the drugs were overtaking my life. I went into a diabetic coma and a drug overdose at 19 years old. As far as I know, I left this planet. I died there on the gurney, and they brought me back. I lived in a coma for about a week. I come out of that, and you're saying, this is where the story changed, Justin. I know that's where the story changed, but it didn't. It got worse. I was living for me. It was all about me. I could care less about anybody else. I hated God. I hated anything to do with church. I would never go back in the church at 16. I walked away. I said, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I got invited in at 21 years old. Keep inviting people. Keep inviting people. I got invited in at 21 years old. Me and Kristen, we were living in sin, weren't married. Walked into the church. Didn't care about it. Had dreadlocks down to my waist. Like a drug addict, because I was. I looked strung out. But heard the gospel and did not respond. And so then we got invited back a second time, heard the gospel again, but did not respond. The third time we were invited back, I told Kristen, I said, I'll never go back again. The drugs, the alcohol were waiting on me. It was Sunday. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't want church. And so anyways, got invited back in that Sunday. I said, this will be the last time I ever go into a church. Walked in there that Sunday morning, and the Spirit of God sat down there beside me. Amen. Folks, it was the greatest day in my entire life. Glory as the Holy Spirit of God revealed to me, I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. And did you know that I realized that that day could be that day? And I responded to the preaching. I responded to the gospel that Sunday morning, gave my life to Christ. Kristen did as well that Sunday. She was under a false conversion as well. And so we both got saved that glorious day 16 years ago, March of 2008. Since then, we've just wanted to serve the Lord. And so God has allowed me a special testimony, because when an inmate says, you don't understand, but I do. When they say, you don't know what it's like to be in this 5x10 cell, but I do. When they say, you don't know what it's like not having a daddy growing up, but I do. You don't understand what it was like to be somebody be prejudiced against you, but I do. And so I'm grateful that God's given me a testimony that I can go and I can relate. I've not had one person that I've not been able to sit down with, and we can't find common ground. You know what? You just got to sit and listen. There's something that you can relate to somebody. And I praise God for where he's guided us. And so let me just give you just one other thing, and I'll be done. So with all that being said, we thought, oh, we're going to, and we went out to the Southwest. And while we were out there, God began to put in my heart the people of Arizona, the prisons of Arizona need to be reached. So last month, we went out there. We sat down, and I've been with the chaplain. I've got all the paperwork in the process. Lord willing, at the beginning of the year, we're going to move out to Arizona. That's why I say it was 105 when we were out there just the other day. And so, Lord willing, what we're going to do is we're going to move at the beginning of the year, and we're going to go into those facilities. They have over 60,000 people incarcerated. Some of their facilities go up to over 7,000 on the grounds. And so with the help of the Lord, they've already asked me to come in there and do discipleship. So I'm really excited about this brand new opportunity. They're asking. I'm not even have to ask. They're saying, hey, when can you come? And so now I'm getting all the final paperwork and everything. So we ask you to do three things with us today. Number one, pray. We covet your prayers. I've been on the road this week already 3,000 miles. I definitely covered your prayers. Souls are being saved, so praise God for that. It's not in vain. Grab one of our prayer cards. Everything on our table out there is absolutely free. Take it with you. If you know somebody can use it, I had a lady already talk to me about that this morning. There's material there you can use, all with the gospel and every single piece of literature we have. And so please pray for us. If it be the Lord's will, partner with us. Our dear brother gave a great, I wish I could say it like you did, brother, but there is a great need. Finances are always part of the equation. We can't disregard that. But then thirdly, and I say this, and this is a big one, I want to always challenge the church, is participation. Get involved. Maybe you can't go into the prisons, but maybe you can go into a local jail. Maybe you can't do that, but you can go into a school. There's so many opportunities where we can serve. Don't say, oh, well, I can't, but yes, you can. I tell my kids all the time, I hate the word I can't. I despise that. I think of that little engine that I think I can, I think I can. You know what? Praise God. Not only do I think I can, I serve a God of the impossible. Yep. You know what? There's nothing too hard for him. And so we thank you for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. It's been wonderful already. I've been encouraged. Brother, I'm excited to hear the preaching, and thank you so much. Amen.
Got a special friend in the audience, or in the congregation, rather. First time he heard me in Wilma's, well, he heard me sing. Wilma hasn't sang with me yet. But he says, when y'all gonna sing again? I said, well, just got to look at the list. And praise God, I'm thankful he's here today, Brother LBJ. And hope you enjoy this, brother.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle along,
they say
I have nothing, they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Above me, I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Blessings on me.
I know
I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you.
And
to me, that's all that matters. Blessings on me.
Wonderful, wonderful special this morning. We are so glad that you've been with us so far this morning, and we're looking forward to the rest of the morning here at Assurance Baptist Church. I forgot something really important down here in the seat. Got to get it, my Bible. And so we are looking forward to the rest of the service. But before we get started with the rest of the service, I've got names are Katie and Kylie Hackney. And today they are 14 years old. And if you know Katie and Kylie, they're some sweet girls. And I had the privilege of baptizing them a few years ago. And they are great young ladies. And so we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Now, we can't sing it as well as Johnny and June just did. I mean, Randy and Wilma. But we're going to sing it, all right? Now, so let's sing this morning happy birthday to Katie and Kylie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, amen. Love you, girls. Their mom's trying to get me to get them to stand up, but I love them, and I don't want them to hate me later. So I'm going to need those girls around, so I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to love you. Mom can do that. That's, she gave you life. But this Guarding Our Hearts and Homes Month, very important. We do it every year at our church. And Brother Bushy's testimony really spoke to some of those things. And then looking at what we've got going on in our world, our culture, our society, I've been looking, and how can we live in the safety of God? Living in the safety of God. What do people want? What is it that people want? The top priority statistically that people want is happiness. Now, I can't give you happiness, but I can tell you how to have happiness. Psalm 144 and verse 15 says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If you want to be happy, then make God the Lord over your life. Not just your Savior, but make him your Lord. Dwell in his safety. Secondly, people statistically want to be safe. They want security, physically, financially. People want peace. They want to know that everything is going to be all right. What are the steps to living in this safety, in this peace, and knowing that everything is going to be all right? We look today, living in the safety of God. Find your place in the text, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we're looking in verse 1 this morning. I'm going to read two verses and then continue on throughout the chapter. But the purpose of a proverb is to give us wisdom. The word proverb, it actually means it's a superiority in mental action. Thus, the key to safety is wisdom and knowledge and how to stay and be safe. So as we look this morning, if you're able, stand with me for the reading and honor of God's word in Proverbs chapter 1. Apologize this morning. I'm losing my voice. I heard very good preaching at the Mansfield Men's Baptist Conference this weekend, and we sang about 3 billion songs, and the preachers were so good that, you know me, I was amening and hallelujah. God's grace is all upon me, so forgive me if I cut out sometime, but God is good. Amen. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the missionary families, the singing, Lord, everything that's come together, the nursery workers, the children's workers. Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house on your day. Father, we ask that you bless this time. Hide me behind your cross. Let me only preach Jesus. Anything else, Lord, keep it out today. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, how can we live in the safety of God? Accepted wisdom brings opportunity. Accepted wisdom brings opportunity. Look at verses 2 through 5 here in Proverbs 1. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. That's what verse 5 says. But look at the steps to that back in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now here it is. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others, and a fool learns from their own mistakes. Only more than half of motorcyclists in the United States wear helmets. Over 5,000 died in motorcycle accidents last year in the U.S. Of those who died, 41% of those could have avoided death had they been wearing a helmet. The wisdom of a helmet only brings an opportunity for safety. If you knew better, you do better, perhaps. Look at verse 7. You know this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I just want to look at the first half here for a second. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here, you have accepted that reverence and submission and loving the Lord is wisdom, but the original acceptance of that, of knowing that it's the wise God, can bring safety, but first you must know that that God exists. And so it brings an accepted wisdom. It brings to your mind that there's something out there that makes sense that would protect me like a helmet, but just accepting the helmet isn't enough to keep you safe. We'll come back to that in the third point, but secondly this morning I want to look at this. Abandoning wisdom brings trouble. Abandoning wisdom, we've already outlined and seen that wisdom is the Lord's, and that we increase in knowledge, and to accept that he is wise, then we would want that wisdom. We would want the right thing. But abandoning wisdom brings trouble. We're going to read several verses here in rapid fire. Look at verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Look at verses 24 through 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Look at verses 28 through 32. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. Verses 20 through 30, they are a list of trouble that comes from abandoning wisdom. You knew better, but you chose something different. We were at that conference yesterday, and we were in line after the second session. It was snack time, and they had Rice Krispie treats and Nutter Butters and Oreos. It was all sweets. It was all bad for you. Of course, I had my Nutter Butters, my Rice Krispie treat, and a Diet Pepsi. But listen, there was a man. I didn't feel so bad because there was a man. There were steps to this church everywhere you went, and this man was walking down the steps, and my guess is he was probably 400 to 450 pounds, and he was saying to his friend, he said, man, I got to get some this weight off of me. It's hard to get up and down these steps. I'm going to die if I don't get this weight off of me. And then he said this, while I'm in line to get snacks. And he went through the line and got his snacks, and he got a regular Coke. And I thought to myself, here it is. You know what wisdom is. You know that you need to get the weight off. But instead of accepting that wisdom, you abandon that wisdom and add it to the issue. Christian, we do that often. We know how to do better, but we choose to do the wrong thing. Amen. Now listen, what that man did yesterday and what Christians do when they sin or get in the wrong things, it's not ignorance because you know, it's insanity. When you know what the right thing is and you choose the wrong thing, that's what we call insanity. You know he's a dog. He ain't no good. You see, 11 o'clock service, you get this. 9 a.m., they don't get this. I don't get this worked up at 9 a.m. I don't have that much time. So you get a little something extra today. But don't worry, it's on live stream. They can go back and watch. You know that man's a dog, but you like him because he's cute and he got a little money in his pocket, but you know he runs around on you. You know he's no good, and you're not ignorant to the fact that he's a dog, but you're so insane that you like him anyway. That's what sin looks like. You say, I know it's wrong to be over here. I know it's wrong not to do that. I know it's wrong to look at that. I know it's wrong to say that. But I'm not ignorant to the fact that it's wrong. But I'm so insane that I do it anyway. How can you live in the safety of God? There are more negatives for abandoning wisdom in the scripture than positives for accepting it. Prosperity brings a false sense of activity. Prosperity brings a false sense of activity. You can have all the stuff, of security, excuse me. You can have all the stuff and it don't mean you're safe. Edward Murphy Jr., the renowned American aerospace engineer, and they got the quote wrong. They quoted him as saying, anything that can go wrong will go wrong, from whence we've gotten Murphy's Law. But the actual quote was this, if anything can go wrong, it will. If there are two or more ways to do something and one of those results in calamity, then someone will do it that way. If, he said, it's conditional, isn't it? If means there was a choice. That if my people, which are called by my name, if any man will come unto me. See, if is conditioned. It doesn't make you do it, but if you want to do it, there's more than one way of going that way. But if you decide that Jesus is the only way, then you can have heaven.
Amen.
See, I like this right here. If is conditional. We have a choice to accept wisdom or to abandon it. You have a choice to sin or not to sin. We're not Calvinists. We believe in free will. You have a choice whether you'll accept it or you have a choice whether you'll abandon it and reject it. I have a choice every morning when I wake up to look at my wife and say, baby, you look good today. Or a choice to let her go to work without telling her that she looks good. I'm blessed when I accept the fact that she's beautiful, and when I say, girl, you look good, I'm blessed for saying that. When I abandon that wisdom, she goes off to work, and she might not think she looks that good today, because the one that she's looking to tell her that, and she, I better be the only one that's telling her that, you know what I'm talking about? Now, your pastor's not as gangster as he once was, but there's still, I was telling the guys at the men's conference this weekend, I only got about 30, 45 seconds of these hands, but in that 30, 45 seconds, you're going to get these hands, you know what I'm talking about? Then my cardio is going to wear out, and then you got me. If I don't get you knocked out in them first 30 or 45 seconds, we in a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? But if I tell her that, it's going to be okay. And if I don't, there could be some trouble that come from that. You know why some women cheat? It's not right, because their husband never told them they looked pretty. Because nobody ever told them they were loved. I ain't saying it's right, but it's just, but it's honest. It's what happens. Because they'll go find somebody that will tell them. It isn't right, but it's true. You ain't got to like it, but you better go ahead and swallow it. See, I think this, it's conditional. You can accept wisdom. You can abandon wisdom. But Christian, where we need to live is applying wisdom. Because applied wisdom brings blessing. Applied wisdom brings blessing. Look at verse 33, and it brings safety. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. You can't get hearkeneth in nothing but the King James. That's a good word. I'm going to say that. I'll say that to my children. Hearkeneth unto me. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. See what it says? When you're hearkening unto things happen to us, even though we're saved and we're Christians, bad things happen. You're right. If acceptance of the fear of the Lord only brings opportunity and abandoning wisdom of the Lord brings trouble, then we must apply correctly what we have accepted in submission to God. Savea's not going to like this, but I got to tell this story. I told it at 9 a.m. and I said, I'm going to be in trouble later. But wisdom tells me that I got to say it. A few weeks ago, 14 years old, you know, she got a beautiful complexion, and she got one little pimple in her mind. I couldn't see it, but in her mind, she had a pimple. She came into our room, and she asked her mother, you know my wife, she's from Blanchester, not far from Mount Auburn, so she's a country bumpkin. She said, Mom, what can I do to get rid of this? And Chandra said, put some toothpaste on it. And Savea thought that was the dumbest thing she'd ever heard in her life. She said, well, I'm about to put some Colgate on top of my head. And she said, Dad, can I put that stuff on there that helps you not have bumps when you shave your head? I said, baby, you're not going to walk around smelling like Brute. There's enough confusion in our culture today that I can't have you going around smelling like men's aftershave. You know what I'm talking about? Boys are boys and girls are girls. Amen? But listen, we was like, you know, and she said, what's that other stuff that sometimes you got? And I said, rubbing alcohol. I said, okay, here, get you some rubbing alcohol. And I gave her a hanky kind of like this and a rubbing alcohol. She said, well, that burns. I said, you're right. I said, but if you just put a little bit on there, I said, and you put it on there and hold it on there, it'll dry it out. And she knows it burns, so she put it on there, and she just kind of looked at it. Now, after a while, I said, get on out my room. I don't know if she ever applied it or not. You can ask her after service if she ever used it or not. But I know this. Accepting the bottle and the rag didn't do anything, but if she applied it, it could take it away. I like this. Watch this. Everything can be going wrong while you're in the safety of God's hands. You can wash your face and drink water and still end up with a pimple. Everything can be going wrong, but conversely, everything can seem to be going right when you're not truly in the safety of God's hands. Everything can seem like it's going well, but you're not even in the safety of God's hand. Think about it. This isn't a blasphemous statement. This is a true statement. In Jesus' earthly ministry, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong in Jesus' earthly ministry. As a toddler, Herod tried to kill him. As soon as he got baptized in his earthly ministry started, Satan took him and tempted him. In his hometown, he was preaching and the people rejected and they tried to push him off a cliff in Nazareth. Listen, his 12 apostles that he chose out, his followers, one of them was a traitor and a devil. Two of his top assistants, they had no mercy and they said, "Lord, rain down fire on these Samaritans and destroy them." Man, I'll tell you what, that's how I am sometimes. Lord, sick of these people. Rain down fire. Just devour them. Sick of it. They lacked mercy. His followers had no faith on a raging sea. The religious leaders blasphemed his name. A bunch of followers turned away from him because they didn't like his preaching. Only one leper out of the 10 came back to thank him for healing him. Boy, a couple of weeks, everything's going. He's telling everybody who will listen, "I'm 33 and a half years old and I'm going to die." His authority is challenged in the temple. The Sadducees come denying a resurrection. One of his apostles is indwelled by Satan himself. His associate pastor and two top assistants fall asleep while they're supposed to be praying while he's in great agony. His associate pastor cuts off a man's ear while he himself is being arrested. Then that same associate pastor goes out and denies him while he's standing trial and is mocked and punched and blindfolded and spat upon. His beard's plucked out. He's taken to the Supreme Court of the land and the Chief Justice says, "I find no fault in him." Yet he's stripped naked publicly and whipped, but that wasn't enough. His own cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Finally, a murderer is released and his innocent body was viciously nailed to a cross. But in all this, he behaved himself wisely and never said a mumbling word. Because Jesus is the personification of wisdom. And all along, it brought safety. Him following and applying the wisdom brought safety from God the Father. You say, "How do you know that, Pastor?" Because when he got to the cross and he died, he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Because he was always in the Father's hand. Because he was wise. After 3 days, he rose from the grave like he said he would, but no one believed it. They made up lies about it and said it's not true, and people still do today. Even worse, one of his 12 most devoted followers, Thomas, doubted that he was even raised. And you know why he doubted? Because he wasn't at church when Jesus said, "Oh, there's lots of stuff going on there. The ball game's here. This is going on." But all I'm saying to you is there's no safety out there. There's negativity and cynicism out there. But when you come into the holy house of God and you hear from the Word of God with the people of God, there's safety inside of this place. I'm just saying, glory, hallelujah, that there's safety in here. I didn't worry about nobody coming in here and talking about my mama today. I didn't worry about nobody here trying to jump me or steal something from me. I didn't worry about none of that because I'm in the safety of God. Bad stuff happens when you miss church. I'm just saying, read your Bible. I wish I had a Bible reader, Brother Jay. Jake's not here this morning. Jake said this morning, "Brother Xavier, I wish I had a Bible." I forgot my own son's name. That's bad. You know you're preaching when you forget your kids' names. I wish I had one or two Bible readers today. Brother Carter, you know what I'm talking about? Just one or two Bible readers in here this morning. If I had one or two, you would get this. Watch. Everything went wrong in Jesus' earthly ministry. "Pastor, my life's so bad. My job, I hate my job." You got the audacity to talk about you don't like your job. We see what Jesus' job is? Let's keep going. Here's the worst part. He gave a simple command to his so-called followers that few obey to this day. Jesus says, "Here's how you apply wisdom. Here's the wisdom. If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. How do I apply it? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, commanding them." Listen, watch what he says here. This is a great part to this. He commands us. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He's talking about baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But he also says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. He says, I've given you the wisdom. You've accepted that that's true. But most Christians are abandoning that truth today. Because they ain't never told nobody about Jesus. So you just refuse to apply it. And you know what happens when you don't apply it? We lose issues like issue 1 and issue 2 in Ohio because Christians have sat by for too long not applying the accepted word of God but abandoning the Great Commission. And so now there's less people who would stand up against abortion, less people that would stand up against marijuana because we haven't won enough people to Christ. Somebody, that was good preaching. Man, I'll tell you what, if nobody else is going to shout, "I'm not Jesus, so I can't get the rocks to cry out," but my pumpkins might say hallelujah and amen. I heard it. Y'all didn't hear it, but it spoke to me. It's like Jonah's gourd. Somebody tries to burn it up, I'm going to be, listen. Nothing went right, but his applied wisdom brought safety. Look at John 5:19. I haven't started preaching yet. Here's the message. God. Thank God for his applied wisdom. Thank God Jesus didn't abandon wisdom. Thank God that when he accepted it, he knew that it was true. He knew that it was right. He accepted the will of his Father and he acted upon it. You want to live safely in God today? John 5:19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father likewise. Now watch. Jesus says, the only wisdom I have is from the Father. The only thing I can say and do, the only thing I can apply is the wisdom of God. Stay with me. We're going to walk around the text a little bit. I don't know if it's exegesis or eisegesis. I ain't that smart, but we're going to do something about Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen. Turn over to John 6. Chapter later, watch what happens here. Look how that he's accepted that. He's not abandoning that. But look how his applying of wisdom has saved you and saved me. And if you're here today and you're not saved, how it can save you, how that grace can be applied to you, how that blood can be applied to you and wash away every single sin stain. Watch how it works here. He says this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he goes on and says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now watch this. I like this. This is good. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life and will raise him up at the last day. He said, that wasn't good enough. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. And he says, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen to me. If you get that today, if you've applied that today, then Jesus says, I got wisdom from my Father. I accepted it, and I've preached it, but some have abandoned that wisdom, and some people have applied that wisdom. Those who have abandoned have rejected the gospel. Those who have applied it, not have they just been saved, but they're supposed to be applying everything about the wisdom of God. This book is wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, you see a son who got wisdom because his daddy told him, ask her, and he goes out and God gave it to him as the wisest person to ever live, and he says, let me do this, but watch what happens here, and says, I'm going to do this, but his father had a little wisdom too. And so Jesus says, I'm only doing the things that my father told me to do when I come to earth. And so even though my earthly ministry, he only lived 33 and a half years on earth, and 3.5 was he out doing ministry, and you see all the things that happened, and that wasn't the entire list. It was all going bad, but he said, because the wisdom of my father is that, Brother Justin quoted it, he said, because the wisdom of my father is that I'm not willing that any should perish, he said, I'm going to go out here. He said to James and John in that verse where they're saying, just destroy all these Samaritans. He said, oh, no, no, the Son of Man's not come to destroy, but to seek and to save that which is lost. See, all I'm saying to you is wisdom is this, that no matter how hard it gets, that we stay with the word of God, with the wisdom of God, and that we live our life out. We don't just accept it and say, oh, I'm a Christian. I accept the Bible. No, but as soon as you get a chance, you abandon and you run away from it. No, we apply it to our life, and we allow our lives to be run by this book because it's a living word, because it's a good word, because it's a great word, because it's a great God. The safety of God, then you need to live in the safety of his wisdom. It's applied. Have you applied this to your life? Wisdom is something that we need. But you know something, I've been thinking about this. We, as Christians, sometimes abandon wisdom because we like something better. We abandon what's right for what's wrong. We apply that which is wrong or that which is sinful or that which isn't the best choice for something else because we like what we like. Because we want what we want. Hear me. The mind can't delete what the heart won't forget. The mind can't delete what the heart won't forget. Your past hurts, your past failures, you can't get rid of it. Your mind won't delete it because your heart remembers it, and it hurts you. Oh, when I think about my Savior. Wisdom was such that he said, you know what? Even while we are yet sinners, I'm going to delete out of my mind your sin. I will no wise blot your name out of the book of life, but I'm going to no longer remember your iniquity. He says, I'm not going to remember that stuff. My heart is such that it got pierced for you. So I won't hold on to those things. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you grace. And what he's looking for in return, you see in those verses, he says, now, I'm only going to be able to do the things that my Father said of me to do. I'm only willed, and I'm going to listen to it. I'm not going to abandon that truth, that wisdom. I'm going to do it. He accepted that, and he didn't abandon that. Satan tried to get him to abandon it. Luke 4, he tried to get him to abandon the wisdom of God, and he said, no, my daddy told me to do this. No, my daddy told me go there. No, my daddy told me we ain't got to live off of no bread alone, but we can live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, I ain't got to have everything. These 3.5 years is going to be rough. They're going to be hard. I'm going to be in agony. They ain't going to like me. I'm going to go over there to Nazareth, and they're going to preach to my hometown people, and they're going to say, we don't like you. My church ain't never going to be that big. It ain't going to be that many people that come in that's great givers, but I'm going to keep on doing what God told me to do because that's the will of my Father, and that's all I know how to do. Christian, listen, all you need to know how to do is what's in this book. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to take. If you just follow this, you'll be in safety. When you abandon it, you'll be in trouble. When you apply it, watch this, I like this part. When you apply it, even when things aren't good around you, everything will be good in you. Listen, if that didn't get you a little fired up, if that didn't get everything around you could be going wrong, but when you apply the wisdom of God, everything in you is going right. Hey, listen, your pastor is a sinful man. In me dwelleth no good thing. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I don't have the most biblical knowledge. But what I know is what the will of God is for me. And what I know is when I'm directly and firmly in that hedge in the will of God, going where God wants me to go, doing what God wants me to do, even when it doesn't go as well as you want it to, I feel safe. These last 2 weeks, it's great to go preach. Now, these are churches that I know and love, and it's all fine. But sometimes you go preach somewhere you've never preached before, and you're nervous. I don't get very nervous to go preach at places that I know. But sometimes you go and you're nervous. And you get up there and you're about to say, thus saith the Lord. And it takes me until that time where I pray and ask the Lord to get rid of me and to only let me speak Jesus. And after I say that, there's this calm that comes over me. There's this safety. Now, I don't say this to be racist. I say this to be real. But sometimes, you know, I'll go down into the hollers of places where there ain't nobody that look like me but me. And I only know how to preach like I preach. I happen to be a black man. And sometimes I think to myself, I ask my friends, how do you think your people are going to handle this? Because once I pray, I'm going to start hollering and hacking and spitting, and I'm just going to be who I am because I can only do the will of the Father. I can only say what the Father says. I can only be me. And if I try to do anything else, then I won't be doing safety. I'll be abandoning that, and bad things are going to start happening. And so Sister Kalina was down in Savannah, Georgia, when I was down there preaching. That's how I met her. And I just preached like I preached, didn't I, sis? And I asked one of the assistants, I said, it's a lot of old white people in here. And we in the South, and I don't really preach in the South that often. And, you know, the history books tell me y'all might not really like us. I don't know. But... Man, I preached, and I let go, and I let God. People get saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Visitors that were just there visiting their mother from Fairborn come to church. When you dwell in the wisdom of God, you will dwell in the peace and safety, the security of God. Friend, listen, Christian. There's lots of things out there that are unsafe. You can be doing your very best. You can be raising your children the very best you can. You can try to protect them from the world. You can try to protect them from the things that are going on, but you're not in control. Daddies, especially you. You get to control. Man. You know what my greatest evidence is? All my kids are great. And I'm just going to say this because I want to speak well of this young man because I'm hard on my sons. But I watched two pastors who were pastors' kids preach great messages. And you know, my son Xavier is going to be a great, mighty preacher. Amen. Yeah. And I see sometimes the first generation is the one that gets all the stuff, and sometimes the second generation guy comes up and he's better. And Xavier, growing up in church his whole life, I have, but he's going to be so much more effective and so much better for the word and for the grace and for the Lord if he'll keep himself right. And I always tell him what Tim Carter taught me, don't be clean, be cleaner. You can't just be like everybody else. You got to be better. You got to live at a higher standard. And if he'll get that, he's only 17 years old, but if he'll get that and he'll keep that and he'll do the will of his father, not this father, but that father, he'll already be doing the will of this father if he's doing that father's will. If he does that, then guess what I'm going to see? I'm going to see he's going to dwell in the safety of the Lord, and guess what I'm not going to worry about? I'm not going to worry about Xavier's going to go out there and get some girl pregnant. I'm not going to worry about he's out there getting drunk or high. I'm not going to worry about it. Now listen, all these things are optional. They're things that he could choose to do, but if he'll just stay in the safety and the will of God, none of that stuff's going to happen, and there's going to be bad things that come to him. There's going to be hard times that come to him, but if he has the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, inside of him, then when everything else is going to hell in a handbasket around him, it won't matter because he'll say, I'm just doing what my daddy told me to do. And every Christian should be like that, shouldn't we? You say, well, I can't believe I don't have this, and Sarah's got this, and Susie has this, and Mike has that, and I can't believe, and such and such as kids is playing soccer over here, and such as kids is playing basketball over here, and such and this and that, and such as husband don't go to church, and such as wife don't do this. You can say all that you want to say. I don't care what you say. You can make every excuse you want to, but there is no wisdom but the wisdom of God. There is no wisdom until you have fear of the Lord, and some of you don't fear God enough. You don't have enough submission to God. You're not afraid. If you believe like God like I believe, God could smash you like a bug right now. But he chose because he sent his own son to the cross and he died to pay for our sins. We don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. Still, you gave your love away. And that man that went to the cross that died for us, he said, I went because my daddy told me to go. And I went because my father's will is that he loves. God so loved the world. And he says, I went because I love, because I can only do what my father told me to do. And so while you're yet sinners, he commendeth his love toward us. He went to the cross and he died. And we have the audacity. We say, I believe that, Christian. I accept that. I accept that Jesus died to pay for my sins. And the first thing you do as soon as you get a chance is abandon the wisdom that caused them to go to that cross and die to pay for your sins. Apply it in your life today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's moving about. The most to be set free in the Son named Jesus Christ. To be saved by the blood, you've heard, wisdom has been applied. Now is your time to respond, whether you will abandon that wisdom, which will bring you trouble, or whether you'll apply it, which will bring you safety and peace. As the music begins to play softly in the background, to my friends in the room and those who are watching online or through radio broadcast, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would enter into peace and security for eternity with God? If you cannot answer that question with a 100% emphatic, yes, I know for sure, then you certainly need to hear this. For the Christian who says, I know I'm saved, you need to listen because our command is to go tell other people. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to win anybody else to Christ. Well, I'm about to show you. So you listen and take good mental note. If you're here and you say, I don't know if I'm saved. I've never asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart and to save me from death and hell and the grave. Oh, and hell is real, sir. There's a real hell, a place of torment, darkness, ultimately the lake of fire burning with brimstone. If you want to abandon that, accept and apply Jesus today, here's what you need to know. Jesus Christ came to earth and lived a sinless and perfect life. He did that because he knows that you and I are sinners and we can't. If you can accept that you are a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's wisdom. Then accept this wisdom. That Christ, the one who God made to be sin, who knew no sin, he did that we might become the righteousness of Christ, Jesus Christ, of God in him. So today, you must believe the gospel. No one's forcing you. It's a conditional. If you'll accept this, he'll save you. If you won't, you'll be destined to hell in a lack of security. What is the gospel, Pastor? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross and was buried. The third day he arose from the grave according to the scriptures, and now he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, because all power has been given to him, and that includes the power to save you. Some Christians are so worried about what's going on in their temporal life, they forgot that he was able to save you in your eternal life. He could save you for eternity. He can help you in this temporary life. But back to those who may not understand or have accepted it. Who would be brave enough today to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I need to accept Christ as my Savior right here, right now. I need to be forgiven of sin. I need to repent. Oh, repent's a word that's not used too much these days, but sin, and I'm turning to something else. What is that something else? I'm turning to Jesus and his righteousness and living in him and his wisdom. The Bible says if you were one to do that today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anyone that needs to call on the name of the Lord today? Simply in the room today, if you say, Pastor, I've never called on the name of the Lord, but I want to be saved and know it. And you understood, not because anybody's pushing you, nobody else is looking around, just my eyes. Would you just signify with your eyes to my eyes, just make eye contact with me, that you want to be saved. I'm not going to come to your seat, call on your name. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for strength, for wisdom, that you might come at the invitation call here. Anybody like that in the room today that says, that's me, I need to be saved, and I'm just going to raise my eyes to you so that I can have you pray for. I see that. Thank you. Anybody else like that today that just says, that's me? Yeah. Father God, I pray for this soul that's come today seeking you. I pray that you encourage, strengthen them, give them bravery, that when Brother Chuck sings the first note, they'd walk right to me. And I'll show them from the Bible, men with a man, and a lady for a lady. We'll show you right from the Bible a little bit more about how to get in the wisdom and safety of God. Now, to everyone else, if you're saved but you've never been scripturally baptized and you're not scheduled, would you make yourself a candidate for baptism today? Perhaps you're here and you say, I want to join Assurance Baptist Church. In order to align yourself with this church, we just ask that you come and we'll pray with you and we'll vote right here, right now, if you've come from a church of like belief. Maybe you say, I've not considered joining the church, but I need to. Maybe you want more information about that. All those are good reasons to come. And Christian, would you pray that you would be willing to accept and apply the wisdom of God and not abandon it? Maybe you'll find a place at the altar today. When Brother Chuck sings the first note, as we stand, you slip out and you come right now. Have your way and will, Father, in Jesus' name.
Please stand and join in singing. Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord.
You make your way. If you said you need to be saved today, come right to me. I'm right here. We're going to talk. Get you right with Jesus. Step right out. I'm right here.
Search me.
Just touch my shoulder. Say it's me, preacher.
Me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.
we sing. Missionary families, if you come to me, we're going to pray over you. Keep playing. We're going to keep singing. Come to me. We pray over you.
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only.
Starting, some of you remember we would make circles around the missionary families, but we don't have space to do that anymore. Praise God. And so we can't really put a hedge around you, but we can still pray for you. And so I didn't really have any expectation to add any missionaries this year. Just kind of, we got to 30 in 5 years and wanted to continue to up their support every month. We're going to be doing that again in January. If you weren't here in Sunday school, Race Johnson, church planter of Georgetown, Kentucky, was going to be here with us, but he's a young guy. I was on his ordination council. I love him. His wife is pregnant with twins. They have another little guy. She's not supposed to have the baby for like another 6 weeks. They've been in and out of the hospital this weekend. They're doing okay right now, but he was still going to try to come, and I told him, if you come, you're fired. So I love Race, but so pray for them, and we're going to be taking them on in January to support them as church planters. But again, I didn't really have any expectation, but I kind of just, Jason, Sarah, really kind of came on the radar and started deputation. They've only been on deputation for like 3 months, something like that, August maybe. And so then with their connection with Carter and the connection with their home church and Pastor House and how good they've been to us. And then the Bushy family just stopped in here because they were at a church in Xenia nearby and came here for a Sunday night service. And so we got to talk to them. And, you know, I, like Justin, keep my tan year round. And so we just enjoyed them and their children, and Miss Kristen. And so my recommendation is that we just take these people on. God's good. He's blessed us. We've been increased this year. Our tithes and offerings, we're gonna far outdo any year in our existence overall. And so my recommendation is that we would just vote to take these folks on as missionaries today. Who would make a motion? Anybody? Remember, Brother Anthony, who would second that? Brother Roy, all in favor, say amen.
Amen.
If you oppose, you lost. So it's good that we are also excited. Miss Kalina Franklin back there. God is good. I preached at my training pastor, Pastor Kelly McInerney's church, back in the summer in July, and she was there visiting her mother. She's from there, and had moved up here to Fairborn and started coming to the church. Her daughter Chandler's over there, and today she came to join the church, transferring from Yemen. Yeah, you guys always clap before we vote. We didn't even vote yet. So she's transferring from Bible Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, to Assurance Baptist Church. And so I can't wait to call Pastor McInerney and say, I stole one. Amen. I already got his oldest son, right? He was at work this morning, but I already got, and his only grandbaby. And I like to needle him all the time. I'm like, I held your grandbaby today. And he, it's not a, yeah, we have that relationship. It's okay. He can deal with it. But Miss Teresa can. But we are so glad for Miss Kalina and for Chandler. And so all in favor of accepting Kalina into the fellowship and membership of Assurance Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Once again, if you oppose, you lost. All right. Let's pray over these missionaries. Then we'll pray with that, with the offering. So guys, just come as they move out. And then missionary families, Carter, you're going to be doing announcements at the end here. So I'm going to ask Brother Alex if you'll just walk them out there to their tables and so they can get out there and meet and greet. Make sure, you know how we do. If you feel led of the Lord, we'll take care of them. But if you feel led of the Lord to pocket them some change or some money, they got mouths to feed and things to do. And so that's always a blessing when I go somewhere, when somebody, you know, hands me that wad of money. I'm like, thanks, bro. You know what I mean? That's good. So whatever God puts on your heart, but make sure at least that you go out there and grab their prayer card, faithfully pray for them, and love them, okay? Let's pray over them. Father God, we thank you so much for the Bushy and Jordan family. Lord, we pray for travel mercies and protections as they move about the cities and about this nation. Father, in their ministries in the Cuba and the prisons, Lord, we need you. We need your power, your strength, your might. They can do nothing apart from you, and they know that. Father, we pray for their children. Put a hedge about them. Lord, let them see this wonderful opportunity that being a missionary or a missionary kid or a pastor's kid isn't a burden but a blessing. That they see something from the other side, and it's beautiful to see souls saved and lives changed and folks baptized and discipled. And so, Lord, raise these families up mighty, Lord, in your midst and all the places that they would touch. Father, we pray this hedge of protection about them. Let them know that their love from Assurance Baptist Church, if they need something, to call upon us. Father, we ask that you bless them now. We ask that you bless this offering and that we would see our missions increased as we can give more and do more. Lord, we pray for the building fund. We pray for our general tithes. Lord, the tithe is the 10% that's yours anyway. And Lord, we pray now that we would return it unto you faithfully. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, guys.
Didn't get a bulletin on your way in, be sure to grab one on the way out or snag a picture of it. There's a lot of stuff in there this week. I'm just going to highlight a few of them. The first one is our family profile sheets. We're trying to beef up our online directory. And so if you've never filled out an online profile sheet, they're at their Welcome Center. If you'll grab that and fill that out for us. Or if you've had any changes, new phone numbers, new address, new baby, something like that. If you'll just grab one and update it, that way we can update the directory. We'd really appreciate it.